Thank you very much for having me back again to the elders and to you. Most of all, I want to thank God and give Him the glory for the opportunity to preach His Word. We're going to begin our journey this evening in the book of Proverbs, and I want you to go to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, we're going to talk about some things never change tonight. Proverbs 3, we're going to begin with verse number 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Verse 16, length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, and by understanding hath He established the heavens. By His knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. Verse 21, my son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep them sound, wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. This tells you what happens to the man that gains wisdom. Well, it says there, and I am paraphrasing, that, well, we are happier and we appreciate the experience of happiness more if we have wisdom. It is more precious to us than any material thing that we can have, including gold. With wisdom, we can extend the quantity and the quality of our lives. We can also have a peaceful and abundant and spiritual life. The Lord established the world by wisdom. Exercising wisdom in our lives will bring grace and hope to our lives. Wisdom can, if we look in the Word of God, be found embedded in the truths that we learn in our life. So we ask the question, what truths in our life will teach us wisdom and also through the Word of God? Well, first of all, number one would be, life is not fair. So get used to it. Life is not fair. If you expect the world to be fair with you because you are fair, you're just kidding yourself. It's just not going to happen. That is kind of like expecting the lion not to eat you because you didn't eat him. It's just not fair. It doesn't work that way. When we go to the Word of God, you find the wisest man that ever lived, Solomon, in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, and verse number 15, he said, all things have I seen in the days of my vanity, that there is a just man that perisheth in his righteousness, and there's a wicked man that prolongeth his life in his wickedness. What's fair about that? Not very much. You go to the very next chapter, in chapter 8, and verse number 14 of Ecclesiastes, and Solomon says, there's a vanity which is done upon the earth, that there be just men unto whom it happeneth, according to the work of the wicked. Again, there be wicked men to whom it happeneth according to the work of the righteous. I said this, that this also is vanity. Life is not fair. From the day we are born until the day we die, life is not fair. And let me give you some examples. For instance, all of your life, have you not known people who are rich? They're just going to be rich. They've always got money. It doesn't matter what it is. And you look and there are some people who are just poor. That's just it. What's fair about that? Or you find also that some people are intelligent and others, there we go, and others learn very slowly. You got some that it doesn't matter. They don't even have to open the book. They're just smart. That's what I don't even have to worry about taking the test. I'm going to ace that test. So some people are intelligent and others learn very, very slowly. You also are going to find that in this world, there are some who are well fed. And I can tell you, Gary can probably tell you, some of you can tell me. There are some people you can go with, they say, hang with me, Brown, we're going to eat well tonight. And everywhere you go, they're going to eat. And they're going to eat very, very well. Some people are always well fed. And then you have people that you see them out there with that sign all the time and they're hungry and they're starving to death. Well, what's fair about that? There's not anything fair about that. And then you got some people that experience good fortune and some people just bad fortune. We used to have a guy that we went to church with in Little Rock, and he had a lot of businesses, and it didn't matter. Somebody said, well, you know, that brother has a golden thumb. It doesn't matter what he does, it's going to be successful, and that was right. But then I also know some brothers through the years that it's like they got a black cloud following them wherever they go. What's fair about that? There's not anything fair about that. Life is not fair. And you look in this world today and you're going to find that there are some people who are free. We're free in this country. There's some people in this country tonight that they're enslaved. They don't have freedom. Not very fair, is it? What's fair about this one? You know, some people, they're healthy all their life. And I've known some people that they're deceased now. They may have lived 20, 30, 40, 50 years. But all I ever knew about them is they were sick all the time. They were always sick. You can look in the Bible, and I will challenge you to find me one scripture where God says life will be fair. Find it for me. Because I don't find that. God never said life would be fair. But God promises that if we seek Him, He will take care of us. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first. I'm first, He says, the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So God promises that if we seek Him, He'll take care of us. He also promises that, aren't you glad, He will be fair in salvation. He's going to be the just, righteous judge. Peter in Acts 10, 34 and 35, the story of the conversion of Cornelius and his household, Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive, God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth Him and worketh righteousness is accepted with Him. God promises that He will be fair in salvation. And God also promises that everyone will be judged fairly. You look at 2 Corinthians 5 and 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to what he has done, whether it's good or it's bad. And so God promises me that I will be judged fairly. If we don't expect life to be fair, then we will not be as hurt with disappointment when unfairness occurs. Another thing that wisdom teaches us about life is that you can't change the past. You can't. Do you know anybody that lives in the past? They are run by the things that went on in their life in the past. They can just never get over it. Well, what wisdom teaches us is that you can't change the past because you see, time for humankind, it moves forward. It never moves backward. It never goes backward. It moves forward. There are, in this day and age, many people who you see them and I see them and we hear them. And what they're trying to do is they want to revise history. What that really means is they just simply want to ignore the parts they don't like. But it doesn't change anything. You can throw all the statues in the river. You can burn the Confederate flag. You can do whatever you want to do. It's irrelevant how you feel about it, but you cannot change the past. You cannot change history. Once something is done, it is done. It is fixed forever. Cannot be changed. Cannot be undone. Well, let me give you another example. You ever been here? I've been here. Once our words have been said and deeds have been done, you can't unsay and undo them. Now, let me just give you an example. How many times have I found myself, and maybe I'm a little angry or maybe I'm whatever it is the situation is, and I say something, and the very second I say it, I want to go, give that back to me. Can't get it back. I said it. You can't change the past. Once our words have been said and deeds have been done, you can't unsay them. You cannot undo them. The Word of God tells us in Psalm 141 and 3, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. What is in the past is out of reach. We have no access to that time. And there is nothing that can be done about it. And that's why the apostle Paul said in Philippians 3:13, he gave us some good advice. He said, brethren, I count not myself to apprehend or to have apprehended. In other words, I'm not there yet as a Christian. I'm not. But he said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I reach forth to those things which are before. Now, if anybody had a right to forget a lot of things in his life, this was a man that killed Christians. He said, I did it because I thought it was the right thing to do. Don't you think when he was alone by himself, he probably thought about that stuff? But he said, I can't do that. He said, forgetting those things which are behind, if we think about the fact that we can't change the past, I believe that it will help us to avoid bad decisions in the present or the future. Because you can't change the past. It will empower us to move on to things that we can do something about. But here's where most of us are. We need to look at life through the windshield, not the rearview mirror. Most of us live our life looking in the rearview mirror. What's going to happen if you go in the rearview mirror? You're going to have a wreck. That's what's going to happen. You cannot change the past. You cannot. Here's another thing that wisdom teaches us about life, and that is simply this, that words have meanings that you give them. Now, I'm going to recite something to you. And y'all can just go ahead and finish this because all of you have heard it all of your life. Even little kids, they go and they hear this. You ready? Sticks and stones can break my bones, but what? But words will never hurt me. Okay. Words have meanings. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can do permanent damage. You can say something in the heat of anger, and you ain't never going to change it. You're never going to change it. Because you see, words hurt forever. It's hard. Once they're gone, they're gone. The truth is that words can be very painful. And they can be very destructive because words have meaning. You realize our words constitute many sins that we commit. Let me give you some examples. Matthew 12, 36, 37. I have a sermon that's called Scriptures That Bother Me. This is one of them because I see myself in it all the time. Matthew 12, 36 and 37. And I'm sure you've heard this before. Have you thought about it, what it says? Jesus says, but I say to you, that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. By your words, you'll be justified. By your words, you will be condemned. So we had a Bible class one time and said, well, what are idle words? Well, how long you got? It's really talking when you need to keep your mouth shut. You don't have anything to add to it. We talk when we don't need to be talking. Every idle word that we speak, words have meanings. Words have meanings. And then we go to this one where Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 5:2, God's in heaven above, you are on the earth beneath. Therefore, let your words be few. Just be quiet. You don't have to say it. Oh, and if that's not enough, we can go even farther and we can go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 11 says you need to study to be quiet. And basically it says, attend to your own business. Now, if we study something, what does that mean we do? We got to learn how to do it. It doesn't come normally. It doesn't come easily. Study, it says, to be quiet. Learning that words have meanings, I believe, will help us choose edifying words and avoid the harmful ones. Ephesians 5 and 6 says, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Another thing that wisdom teaches us about our life is that choices have consequences. Now, you just use yourself for an example. And young people, I'm even talking to a little bit of kids here. Every choice you make has a consequence. It may be a long time coming, but every choice you make has a consequence. For instance, you grow up and you decide, well, this is what I want to be for the rest of my life. That's going to have a consequence. This is the person that I marry. Well, that's going to have a consequence. You know, my oldest daughter one day was, she was over at the house and she was just grousing all day long. Her and Lanny was, they'd had a disagreement about something all day long. About every 30 minutes, she'd say something for about 2 minutes and then she'd quit. So finally, after about 30 minutes or an hour of that, I said, Brandon, she said, yes, sir. I said, you married it. Yes, sir. Choices have consequences. From your career, who you marry, how you act, where you go, what you do. You look at things today and you're going to find that a lot of these people today that are out there on the front end with all of these riots and everything, that all has consequences. All of these choices have consequences. You deciding not to become a Christian, that has a consequence. You deciding to be a Christian, that has a consequence. Everything has consequences. Our choices have consequences. Newton's third law of motion states for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. But the physical law very, very often reflects the spiritual law. Be careful what you choose. There is not a choice that we make that does not first originate in the heart. You think about it. You consider it. You act on it. Then you try to justify it. But it started right here in the heart. When I started thinking about it, then what happened? That was a choice. Something I did. Understanding that choices have consequences, I believe, will help us measure our choices very carefully before we make them. The next thing that's never going to change is that someone will oppose you for doing what's right. Truth is not a function of popular opinion. It's just not. Someone will oppose us for doing what is right. Truth is still the truth, even if no one believes it, and a lie is still a lie, even if everybody believes it. Truth is still the truth. And there's a lot of people that they look at the Word of God and they say, I don't believe that. I don't care about that. Did it change anything? No. Why? It's not going to change. Someone will oppose you for doing what is right. And you look here in Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 16. What did he say here? He said, if I become your enemy because I tell you the truth. Truth's not popular. People don't want to hear it. In this day and age, I want to do what I want to do, when I want to do, where I want to do, how I want to do, with who I want to do, and you're not included. Okay. Didn't change. That's not going to change. Jesus Christ told us that you're going to be opposed. Matthew chapter 5, 11, 12. He said, blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. He said, you need to rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. John 15, verse number 19. Again, if you were of the world would love his own, but because you're not of the world, we're not of the world, we're peculiar, we're supposed to be as Christians. Because you are not of this world, I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. There's people today, they don't like what we stand for. They don't like it. They don't want to hear it. But I am assured through the Word of God that one thing is never going to change is that someone will oppose me for doing what's right. In fact, 2 Timothy 3:12 says, indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. That doesn't mean that somebody's going to come in here with an AK-47 and mow us all down because we believe in Jesus. They might. But you can be persecuted in a lot of different ways other than physically, spiritually, mentally. I used to manage the advertising department at the Democrat Gazette for 8.5 years. And one Monday morning, I walked off of the elevator, and one of the guys that worked for me, when I walked off the elevator, he had about 6 or 7 people around him, and they were having a biblical discussion. And he said, "Well, here's David Brown." He said, "David Brown goes to Church of Christ, and David Brown thinks that every one of us is going to hell, don't you, David?" "What you gonna say?" "Yeah. Oh." But you know, that was hard. That was difficult. That was difficult. Understanding that we're going to be opposed for doing right will help us prepare to do right no matter what. Just do the right thing. Do the right thing. Another thing that's never going to change is learning the hard way hurts. You ever heard that one? Somebody says, "Well, you can learn it the easy way or you can do it the hard way." What's the way that most of the time people do? They do the hard way, don't they? Why is that? Learning the hard way hurts. This is something that we need to understand. I don't care what you're doing in your life. I do not care. There is no substitute for experience. There is none. Someone taught you how to read. You didn't know how to read. You may teach somebody else how to read. Somebody taught you the Bible. You teach somebody else the Bible. You may know how to do certain things and you teach it to another person, but you were not born knowing all of these things. There is no substitute for experience. Experience is the best teacher. There are two ways to learn in life. Number one is that we learn from someone teaching us. Or number two, we just learn through experience. And sometimes we want to learn the hard way. More often than not, we choose to learn through experience. And often those experiences are unpleasant and they are expensive. Now, let me get on the parent's soapbox. Your parents, young people, have lived longer than you have. More than likely, you can't present them anything that they haven't been through, that they don't know how to understand and help you with. And I don't know what it is, because I did this, you know. There's just something about it when you get to be 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. I just know more than Dad does. Don't tell me, Dad. My dad told me one time, he said, "You think you know so much? You think you're so tough?" He said, "I tell you what," he said, "just go out here and pull up a chair and you command the wind to stop blowing and I'll listen to you." He said, "You're not near as tough as you think you are. You don't know near as much as you think you do." And what happens is, your parents are never going to tell you to do anything wrong. They're there to help you. They love you. But we don't want to do that. We don't want to do that. We don't want to listen. So we learn the hard way. Mark Twain said, "When I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished how much old man learned 7 years. The old man already knew it. He learned it." And parents, if I could advise you on something tonight, this is something that Kim and I did with all 4 of our kids. All 4 of them. Some point in time, they have the stupid versus ignorant talk. Here's the way that goes. There is a profound difference in stupidity and ignorance. Ignorance. If you do something and you don't know what the results are going to be, and maybe you go out there and you get in trouble and there's a problem with it or whatever, I'm not going to be near as flared up about it. Why? Because you were ignorant of it. You didn't know. However, the stupidity talk is when you see your friends, acquaintances, buddies, people you work with, whatever it is, and you go out there and you watch their life and they get involved in drugs and alcohol and sex and whatever it is, doesn't matter. And then you see the ramifications of what happens and you go out and do the same thing. That's stupid. That's not ignorant. That's stupid. We have to learn. And sometimes, unfortunately, we want to learn the hard way. You go to Ephesians chapter 6, and we've seen this before and before. Time and time again, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Okay, good. That's good. That's what you need to do. Honor your father and mother. That's the first commandment with promise. It may be well with you. And we miss the very last thing it says. What did that say? Do this so that you may live long on the earth. See, there's a benefit to that. Learning the hard way hurts. But Scripture teaches us to learn the easy way. I want you to go again to Proverbs chapter 2 this time. Proverbs 2 and verse number 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom out of his mouth, cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Verse 9, then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. Learning the hard way hurts, and when we understand that learning the hard way hurts, I think we need to learn from others with more experience first, whoever they are. And we say some things never change. Well, guess what? Things change. We need to understand that. Things change. Just when you think you have life figured out, just when you think you have all of your ducks in a row, something happens to undo it. Kim and I have had this discussion before. Every time it seemed like in our 44 years of marriage that we got to the point where we were just going to be ready to save a little bit of money, something happened. It wasn't saving money. Something happened. Things changed. And that happens time and time and time again. Life is unpredictable and things change. And we go to the Word of God in Proverbs chapter 27 to verse 1 says, don't boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. But we do that all the time. You can go and look at your schedule and the rest of the month. You've got all these things figured out. If the Lord wills, you'll do them. If He don't, you won't. Things change. Things change. My wife, that I dearly love, she had a test. They were just running a regular test. Doctor said, well, we've got a problem here. Something's going on here. So after all the tests and everything's done, my wife's been diagnosed with cancer. You couldn't have told me that a year ago. You couldn't have told me that 6 months ago. Things change. They change. Sometimes they change very, very quickly. They change very, very quickly. Remember this old story? Rich man and a fool. He was a rich man. He was a fool, the Lord said. He said he had everything there was. He had more than enough. He said, I'm going to tear down my barns. I'm going to build new barns. And he said, I'm going to say to myself, soul, you've got many goods saved up for many years. You find this in Luke chapter 12. Got many goods saved up for many years. Take your ease. Eat, drink, be merry. What did the Lord say to him? He said, you're a fool. He said, even this night, your soul will be required of you. Then who will those things be? They're not going to be yours. You know what he basically told him? He told him things change. We expect our lives to go one way, but they often end up quite different than what we planned. You ever looked at this very famous scripture? But I want you to notice the changes. It's full of changes. In Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 through 8, everything, there's a season, time for every matter under the heaven, time to be born, time to die. That's change. Time to plant, time to pluck up what's planted. Time to kill, time to heal. Time to break down, time to build up. Time to weep, time to laugh. Time to mourn, time to dance. Time to cast away stones, time to gather stones together. Time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing. Time to seek, a time to lose. time to keep, time to cast away, time to tear, a time to sow, a time to keep silence, a time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate, time for war, and a time for peace. You know what that all said? Change, 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 change. Things change. We look at ourselves. And the Bible says that, what is your life? You're a vapor. That you appear for just a little while, and then you're gone. And that doesn't change. But God's Word does not change. It is perfectly suited for every contingency. It tells me in Hebrews 13:8 that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's not going to change. This doesn't change. 2 Timothy 3:16, 17, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for proof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfectly or complete, thoroughly furnished in every good work. Understanding that things change, I believe, will adjust our expectations for the unpredictable future and prepare us to deal with the unexpected things according to God's Word. And finally, something that will never change. Unless Jesus comes back first, everybody dies. Everyone dies. I had a young man. He was 18 years old. He was the band major, the band director for McClellan High School. Taught him in high school class, junior high class, watched him grow up. Probably one of the most popular young men at school. When your phone rings at 3 o'clock in the morning, it's usually not good news. You hope it's the wrong number. Phone rings, it's on Kim's side of the bed. She answers the phone. She said, "David, this is Danny from church." And I'm like, 3 o'clock in the morning. What's going on? This is all he said. He said, "David," he said, "this is Danny. Brian died last night. Can you do the funeral?" Now, I just got woke up out of sleep. And the first thing I said to him is, I said, "No, I can't do that funeral. How can I do that funeral?" I called him back later, and I did the funeral. It was so full of kids from school that they had to put a speaker out in the parking lot. And what I told them was that he had given an invitation on the Wednesday night before he died. He died because a brain aneurysm burst while he was swimming. And I said, "You know, his invitation was about a friend of his who'd killed himself." And he said, "What a waste of life this was. What a waste of life. Because look at all the things he could have done in his life." He said, "You know, Brian was a Christian. Brian tried to do what was right. And if Brian was here today, what he would simply say is, be prepared. You next." It was difficult. It's hard. There's things that we don't want to happen, but we have to accept. There's things we don't want to know, but we have to learn. There are people that we can't live without, but we have to let them go. We just do. And that's perhaps the most unalterable truth of life. The Bible teaches us, God tells us, Hebrews 9:27, there's two things for certain. Everyone dies and then faces judgment. There's not very many things I can say that I can tell you that I don't believe there's one person within the sound of my voice that will disagree with what I say, because sometimes there usually are. But I'm going to say something right now that I don't think there's one single individual in this room can disagree with me. 100 years from now, 100 years from now, you will be dust unless Jesus comes back. You will be dust. Ecclesiastes 3:20, all go into one place, all are of the dust. Turn to the dust again. Don't want to think about that. I don't want to think about it. Everyone dies. These are things that will never change in this world. life not fair? Past, you're not going to change it. Words have meanings. Choices have consequences. Someone will oppose Christians for doing what's right. Learning the hard way hurts. Things change. And everyone dies. You know, this sermon was titled, Some Things Never Change. You want me to show you the most important thing that will never change? Is that right there? That's the scriptural plan of salvation. I can get up every day and it doesn't matter what Satan throws at me. I don't care. Because God, who cannot lie, promised me that if I will do what He tells me to do, hear the Word, faith cometh by hearing, hear by the Word of God. Obey the gospel, and just hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized. If you've done that, remain faithful. He says, if you remain faithful, I'll give you a crown of life. That's not going to change. He even says that if you have not remained faithful, you can repent of your sins. And He said, if you will confess your sins to me, I am sure to forgive you of your sins. I don't know how to get any better in a world where there are so many things that change. This is the one thing I can count on. And every day when I get up, I'm thankful that God has given me another day on this world to be with people that I dearly love, to see a face of a granddaughter that I can see and smile at, to have parents and brothers and sisters I know that love me and care for me, but most assuredly to know that if I've obeyed God, it don't matter what Satan throws at me, because I'm going to go to heaven when I die. And that's what it's all about at the end of time. If you're subject to God's great invitation tonight, we pray you'll come while we stand, while we sing.
No. We are bound for Canaan land, tenting by the